Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and today, of course, we're talking with Don McPherson, president of Modern Survey, a regular here on the HR Power Hour. Welcome back, Don.
David, thanks for having me on HR Power Hour again. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, no, it's great. You know, you've been traveling all around, and I know at the end of this conversation, we're going to be talking about a topic you're going to be speaking about at the main HR convention, obviously the fourth largest convention in the country, and you're going to be talking about those travels. But this topic we're talking about today is very, very interesting because most of the surveys that are out there talk about benefits and pay as being not the bigger drivers of engagement. And your workforce study survey says that that is changing.
It is changing. Compensation and pay is becoming more important to employees. And this is according to a study that we conducted at Modern Survey in September of 2013. What we found is that there are six drivers of employee engagement. And they're typical things like the ability to grow and develop and recognition and personal accomplishment. But the satisfaction with fair pay showed up as the fifth strongest driver of engagement. And what we had seen the previous 3 years or post-recession is that pay and benefits were not appearing as drivers of engagement. So that's one very important thing that HR leaders and business leaders need to understand, is that people are becoming a little bit more pay conscious than they have over the past 4 or 5 years. The other thing that's really important to this conversation is that satisfaction with compensation and satisfaction with pay is falling, and dissatisfaction is growing. So we ask a question on the study: my compensation package is competitive in our industry. And in 2011, 58% of people responded favorably to that question. In 2013, it's only 53%. So it's fallen 5 percentage points. And that's a significant difference. But even more shocking or more important for people to understand is that the unfavorable responses rose from 21% unfavorable in 2011 to 25% unfavorable in 2013.
Now, if we talk about pay, certainly, and maybe you have some data to back this up, we've certainly seen that pay has been kind of stagnant for the last few years, and certainly after the recession and so forth, pay in a lot of places took a hit, and that companies have either in some ways either, you know, lowered pay or leveled the field, and there haven't been raises in a while. Do you see that this is a reflection of some of that now starting to show up in the surveys on the pay side?
I think there are a few factors, and that's definitely one of them. I think that if you remember back to the 2012 presidential election, stagnant pay was one of the key campaign issues that that Republicans were making about the president and his administration, that pay hadn't grown. And so I think that messaging during the election stuck with employees, and they said, yeah, you're right, I haven't gotten a pay raise in the last 3 years or the last 4 years. So that's one of the issues. I think the other issue is that companies have trillions of dollars sitting in their banks, and they're not distributing them to employees. They're not sharing the wealth. So we've had a lot of organizations that have been very, very successful, and they're just not sharing with their employees. So employees are getting a little bit upset with that. And then I think the third thing is that as unemployment continues to fall, and remember back in February of 2009, it was about 7%. In August of 2009, it rose up to 10%. Well, it's now under 7%. People who had this thought in their head that I'm just lucky to have a job, well, that's going away. People are seeing that there are opportunities elsewhere, and if they don't feel like they're compensated fairly, they are going to move on. And so compensation is becoming one of those things that's being battled over right now in the workplace, and it's very, very interesting to watch how this battle is being fought.
You know, it's interesting. You hear a lot today about the minimum wage, and I bring that up because certainly compensation having to do with pay. This topic is now the new rage for 2014. And you see companies like Gap, for example, saying that they're going to raise minimum wage to $10 along with, you know, the federal requirement for some contractors to go to $10 or 10, I think it is, an hour. Do you see that this is in a direct response to trying to level that field a little or force the companies to start using some of that cash that's out there?
I do, and so I agree with your point there, but I also think that it's a great move by Gap and by other organizations that are doing similar things from an employment branding perspective, because they're getting all of this publicity and it's bringing attention to their brand, and so they're going to be able to attract better employees. And so I really applaud what they're doing in terms of, you know, leading as opposed to having the government lead the minimum wage issue on this. So I'll continue to watch what Gap and other organizations are doing as far as being very transparent with how they're elevating their minimum pay.
Okay, so, you know, we've talked about pay a little bit, and certainly we're seeing movement across the board. On the benefits side, how much do you see healthcare as being a driver in the question of benefits? Certainly, we're certainly seeing employers really confused, really concerned about the mandate, about, you know, what they're going to have to pay. We certainly have seen, and I know this for a fact, employers have seen increases in healthcare costs across the board. Some of them, they're being passed on to employees. Some, they're canceling their healthcare. You know, you're really seeing that. Do you think that that's one of the biggest drivers? Because that really has become the issue of 2013, and now it's going to continue in 2014.
I think the benefits are even more important than the pay, because we do ask a question on our survey, I'm paid fairly for the work that I do, and that's only fallen a couple of percentage points over the last 3 years, from 54% favorable to 52% favorable. It's really the benefits and healthcare primarily, where employees are having a bit more issue, and it's the great uncertainty as to whether or not they're going to have health care. So think about employees who may have their hours cut and they may lose their health care. That's going to change the way that they view their relationship with their employer. So I would agree with you that benefits, and primarily health care among benefits, is one of the areas where employees are greatly dissatisfied or greatly uncertain as we try to figure out how this Affordable Health Care Act is going to impact us as individuals and impact our organization.
Yeah, I think that certainly is what we're hearing. We're certainly hearing employers and employees really puzzled, I guess, really. And uncertainty is never good for the market. We know that in terms of being able to drive engagement. Anytime there's uncertainty, it would appear that engagement seems to be not in a favorable, you know, favorable trend at that point. Let's put it that way. Do you see any other benefits or any other areas where employees are saying, "Hey, this is you know, going in a good direction or a bad direction in terms of the engagement portion?"
Well, one of the things, it's been kind of interesting because I think Yahoo came out with the policy that they were no longer going to have as flexible hours or work schedules as they had in the past. But I see a lot of organizations really touting a flexible workplace or flexible hours, or what's become very popular is results-only work environments, and attracting employees by just focusing on the results that employees are going to provide the organization as opposed to their time. And I think that's a smart strategy depending on the type of organization that you are. So if you're really kind of what we would say is a knowledge employer, as opposed to maybe a manufacturing organization or a service organization, focusing on what individuals provide in terms of results is going to be a lot more appealing and in attracting and retaining employees, as opposed to saying, well, you need to be here at 8 o'clock and you can't leave until 5 o'clock. So I've seen that a lot among a lot of our clients, where they're really thinking about a flexible workplace, or having flexible jobs where people can work from home, work flexible hours. That's, I think, one of the really appealing benefits that a lot of employees are looking for, and particularly, I would say, among millennials or Gen Y, that's one of the things that they really, really want.
When we're seeing the new generation enter the workforce, we call Z is the name, you know, Gen Z or iGen. I like that term even better, but Gen Z. You know, it's interesting to see that that is one of the top things that we're hearing from them, is that flexibility. Now, we know it was big in Gen Y, but it still seems to be growing in importance, doesn't it, in terms of what you're hearing or what is out there in the marketplace today?
I think that if you think about how they've been raised, and the accessibility that they've had to technologies that are really developed for their specific interests, for their specific needs, it's not surprising that they're going to want a workplace that is catered to their specific needs and specific interests and when they want to be working. So that isn't surprising to me at all. And you're right. I don't think that it's going to change back to the structured workplace or the formal workplace that you and I entered when we first got our first professional jobs.
And that was, what, 5-6 years ago, right? Right, you and I?
That's right.
That's right, yeah. Right. Just want to make sure the audience is clear on that. Okay, so so employers are certainly looking at ways to try to mitigate this. And I know that there are some employers out there that will say, well, look, you may tell me that there are companies that have cash. That isn't me, bud. I don't have that type of cash to be giving to my employees because it's still very tight. There certainly are some employers that are dealing with this issue and they are still cash strapped, because we know that lending is tight and that the economy, while starting to see some improvement, some areas are certainly not improving in the way that they need to. And it's been pretty low growth in terms of the overall U.S. market. What are some of the things that employees are saying in terms of where they can be satisfied by their employers?
Well, if you want to mitigate dissatisfaction with comp, there are a handful of things that you can do. The first thing that I would say, and I saw this done by an organization that I worked with back in the 90s, what they did is they changed their pay statements or their pay stubs from just here's what you're taking home and here's what your taxes are to a total compensation statement. And on that total compensation statement, they had tax reporting, they had insurance, they had what benefits cost and health care cost. So they had very, very comprehensive reporting. So when somebody took home a check, they weren't just seeing what was being deposited in the bank, they were seeing all of the other things that the company was doing to invest in them. And that really had an effect on how people approached or how satisfied people were with their overall compensation. Their scores skyrocketed on their employee survey. And so that's one of the things that organizations could do, is create a total compensation package.
So basically laying out everything that has been that is being paid for by the employer, because I think you're right. Employees don't necessarily always know what the cost of their insurance really costs the employer, what the cost of the life insurance costs the employer, what the cost of the unemployment benefit and the short-term disability and the long-term disability, all these things that the employer pays for.
That's exactly right. And when employees realize that they're like, oh, yes, this organization is investing in me more than just what I'm taking or what I'm able to deposit in the bank. And so that's a very, very important step that an organization can do. The second thing is that an organization ought to be sharing industry pay data. And oftentimes, when you're sharing data, you're combating some false perceptions around compensation. So I always say that HR knows whether or not they're paying at market. And if there's dissatisfaction with compensation in the organization, it's primarily an issue around communication. So the employee believes that they're underpaid or that other organizations are paying more. HR, if they're communicating effectively, if they know that they're paying at market and they're communicating effectively, they ought to be able to mitigate some of those false perceptions. And so sharing what industry pay data is for your organization, that's another step that the organization can do to mitigate dissatisfaction with compensation.
Well, I think that's important, too, because you're right. I've never heard an employee ever say, hey, I'm overpaid and underworked, ever. Right? I mean, never have heard anybody ever say that. And employees always perceive that their value is more than necessarily the market is, right? So there is this inherent perception that I am worth more, right? That's what we're seeing out there. And you're still seeing in the market surveys today, correct?
That's right. And so I'll give you an example. I've worked with financial services companies since my career started in the early 90s. And financial advisors talk with other financial advisors, and they talk about comp structures, and they talk about what sort of incentives that they're paid out and bonuses that they're paid out. And so the company that I was working with in the early 90s, they had an issue because their advisors believed that they were paid less than the market because of these conversations that they were having with other advisors from other companies. Well, when they rolled out this total compensation package and they started communicating more effectively around all of the other advantages that their advisors got, the issue went away. And so it's really a matter of communication in a lot of cases. Now, there are organizations that don't pay at market. And that kind of brings me to the third point of what an organization can do, and that's focus on the other drivers of engagement.
And we're going to be talking with Don McPherson about that when we come back. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Out Loud Minute. The Out Loud Minute.
The one time when most Americans would argue for government oversight. This is Malcolm Out Loud. The internet has been the root cause of change around the world these past 25 years. It's changed the way in which we engage in commerce, completely altered the global political environment, and opened up an entirely new educational experience on a quantum scale. The question is, what will the internet look like 25 years from now? It's a question worth asking, especially after the news announcing that the U.S. government will give up control over the internet next year. It's uncertain what that will really mean down the road, but what is certain is that the internet represents free speech, open access, and expression of thought. Well, the out loud truth is, a project on the scale and investment of the internet could only have been invented in America. The internet is an American original and should be kept exactly that way. Share it with the world? Yes. Give up control to the world? Never. And you can get the rest of the Out Loud Truth back at MalcolmOutloud.tv.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
Hi, this is Derek Volk, host of Mox Talk Radio. Since the beginning of January, winter storms and freezing temperatures have resulted in more than 450 canceled blood drives and nearly 14,000 uncollected blood donations. But in spite of the weather's impact on donations, the need for blood is constant. There continues to be an urgent need for blood donors with type O, especially type O negative. Please call 1-800-RED-CROSS to find a blood drive or donor center near you. Walk-ins are always welcome. Please make an appointment today to give the gift of life.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we're talking with Don McPherson, president of Modern Survey, and today we're talking about pay and benefits, stronger drivers of engagement today. Don, we've been talking about several ways in which employers can mitigate the risk of dissatisfaction with comp. One of the ways we talked about is employers using different marketing strategy, if you want to say, communicating it, of the true compensation versus take-home pay. The second was talking about having data to support what the true compensation comp percentages are and perceptions out there in terms of the marketplace. What was the third?
The third is that when an organization knows they're not paying at market, and there are organizations out there like that for many reasons, but when an organization knows that they cannot pay at market, they need to focus on the other drivers of employee engagement. If they're going to attract employees, if they're going to retain employees, the top performers. And those drivers, the most important drivers, are recognition, their career development, their filling employees with a sense of personal accomplishment, their connecting employees with the mission, their giving employees a sense of the organization's future. And so when those organizations are focusing on these other drivers, oftentimes that great culture that they create is worth maybe taking a little bit less home. And so I'll give you an example. It's a client of ours in the Twin Cities here, and they're a nonprofit. And they know they don't pay at market. In fact, they're quite a bit below market, I would say about 15% under market for their pay, and their benefits aren't at market either. But they have one of the best cultures. Their engagement scores, we do their employee engagement survey, their engagement scores are incredible. And what they've done very, very effectively is they provide health care to elderly populations. And so this is a nonprofit. And they connect their employees with the mission very, very effectively. And so the people who are part of that organization know that their organization is doing great work, know that their organization has incredible benefit to the residents of the community and to the community at large. So that is the way that they've been able to really justify underpaying their employees and get away with it. And they have very little retention issues. They have very, very high levels of employee engagement. They're able to attract employees. And so it's worked out very well for them by focusing on these other drivers of engagement.
You know, Don, you talked about pay now being number five, basically, on the engagement scale in terms of the survey. What are the four before it? The reason I ask is because I suspect that those that you talk about, recognition, career development, personal accomplishments, and those things, are part of those four. Do you have that data to support it?
I do. So the number one driver of employee engagement, and again, this is as of our study that was conducted in September of 2013, is growth and development. I can grow and develop at my organization. And it's number one, and I want to make a very, very important distinction here. It's the first time that growth and development has been the top driver since pre-recession.
That's interesting.
The previous 3 years, belief in the future of the organization or belief in senior leadership was number one. So it's a very important time in the employee-employer relationship because we're moving away from safety and security, the things that we wanted, confidence in the future of the organization or confidence in senior leadership, and asking for more personal things like growth and development. So that was the number one. The second one is confidence in the future of the organization. So that had been the strongest driver the previous 3 years. And the third one is personal accomplishment. People want meaning from their work. They want to know that they're doing something special, that they're making a difference. The fourth one is also interesting, and that is values guiding behavior. People want to work for an organization that has a set of values and that those values aren't just written on a wall or written on a badge, but they actually guide behavior. We found through our research that when somebody says that they work for an organization that has values that are known and understood by most employees, they are 37 times more likely to be fully engaged than somebody who works for an organization without values.
Well, that certainly makes sense. And when you really think about what it is that's still driving people, it's still about themselves, the WIFMs, if you want to call it. And I think it's interesting that it's really moved to number one about development, because we're also seeing the trend, at least in the HR side, of moving back to coaching, because we're seeing more coaching happening because companies are now investing in their senior leadership. They're investing in their people. We're seeing more training, more development. So that certainly would validate the trend from an organizational standpoint. Are you seeing that as well?
I'm seeing that, and it's very exciting because if you think about the lack of investment in training, in leadership development post-recession, you know, the first couple of years, at least certainly, there was a bit of a vacuum. And I think organizations are certainly understanding that if they're going to retain their best employees, they're going to have to invest in them. And that's going to be through training. It's going to be through development and leadership development, making sure that the organization has the right leaders in place and are investing in those leaders. So I'm very excited about that because we did go through a period where a lot of training was cut, a lot of development work and coaching was cut, and we suffer as organizations when that happens. So I'm pleased to see that the trend is returning.
Did you break any of this data down by age group? In other words, are you seeing a difference between older populations and younger populations in terms of what they need or want? Or is this pretty steady throughout the age groups from the, you know, from the baby boomers all the way down to Gen Y?
We did look at pay and compensation by the different generations, and one of the things that I was surprised at was that boomers were more satisfied with their compensation. So about 55% of baby boomers said that they were satisfied with their total compensation. And when you look at my generation, which is Generation X, it's just 52% who responded favorably to that. But then Gen Y is under 50%. They're only at 48% favorable. So I have a bit of a hypothesis as to why this is among the generations, and I believe it's that the baby boomers have accumulated a lot more benefits during their tenures. And so a lot of the benefits that they've accrued over the years have been grandfathered, and maybe some of the younger workers don't have some of these benefits that the baby boomers have.
Also
the baby boomers are further along in their careers, and so, you know, the younger workers might be in their first or second jobs out of school, and so their benefits aren't as robust as some of the older workers.
Sure, that makes sense. I mean, certainly there is, you know, your time in place or grade in terms of your ability to look at what you have saved. And, you know, we're talking about the, you know, baby boomers now starting to retire in record numbers. So we're really starting to see that whole shift in terms of the, you know, the overall look of how people are looking at their compensation and benefits. And they are different from what they used to be to what they are today.
They are. One of the very surprising things, though, is so that I was just talking about total compensation, which includes benefits. When we looked at pay, there was absolutely no difference among the three generations. So Gen Y, Gen X, and baby boomers were in complete alignment in terms of their satisfaction with pay at around 52% favorable. So, you know, so there is a pretty big difference in terms of satisfaction with compensation, but when you're just looking at paycheck, what you're bringing home, what you're depositing in the bank, there's complete alignment.
No, that's great.
Among the three generations.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour. We're talking to Don McPherson from Modern Survey. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the gaps among industries and demographics on satisfaction with compensation. We'll be right back. Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Because you've booked with Booking.com, you, freedom lover, are on the road and carefree. You're not worried that dealership billboards spoil beautiful views or that the fresh, cool breeze gives you a mouthful of fumes. No, because you know in just a few more miles, you'll be free to rock around in the perfect Booking hotel, treehouse, or rustic cottage of your dreams. Thanks to Planet Earth's number one accommodation site, Booking.com. Booking.yeah!
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan. Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan. Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan? I like bronze, like my tan. Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group. Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Every second, someone turns to OnStar for help.
OnStar Center.
I just woke up and my car was stolen.
I hate that you had to call us under these circumstances, but I'll be happy to assist you. Are you in a safe location?
Yeah, the car was in the driveway. My wife's car was behind mine. I come out to get the newspaper. Her car's out in the street. So they pushed her car out to get to my car.
Do you have the stolen vehicle report number?
550.
Now you can add this kind of protection to your car with new OnStar FMV.
Police Department.
I have a location on a stolen vehicle. It's just off of Riddler Brook Court. It's stationary.
Thanks, OnStar. We have three units going out there.
This is Keith.
This is the OnStar Center. We have located the vehicle. Police will be contacting you shortly.
Okay, thanks so much.
OnStar is built into most new Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Cadillac models. And now, You can even add it to your car with new OnStar FMV. Visit OnStar.com for FMV retailers, availability, system limitations, and details.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. Our sponsors for today's show, AARP, taking on issues that matter. Northern Insurance Group, meeting your business, commercial, and personal insurance needs. And the law firm of Jackson Lewis, all we do is work. And we're talking today with Don McPherson of Modern Survey. And he's really talking about pay and benefits and how it is becoming a stronger driver of engagement today. You know, Don, we talked about how employers can mitigate the risk of dissatisfaction with comps. And we just certainly did that. But one thing that's interesting is you have some data in regards to the wide gaps among industries and demographics on the satisfaction with compensation. Can you tell us about that data and what it says?
Yeah, so we looked at a number of different demographics on our survey, and we found that there were three areas that we needed to explore further. We talked about the generations and the differences between perceptions of compensation and pay among the three most populous generations in the workforce. We also looked at the differences between males and females. So I was very curious about this. I know that the wage gap is decreasing between males and females, but there still is a wage gap in our country. And so we wanted to look at how males and females felt about the pay that they take home. And what we found is that there was a big gap in perception. So males responded 60% favorably to the fair pay question, whereas females responded at only 47% favorable on that question. So a big gap between males and females in terms of how they feel about the pay that they're receiving.
Now, just to jump on that for just a second. So this is the perception of how they feel, right? Even so, does this go back to what we talked about before about companies being able to supply true compensation data to prove the information? Should that be something they think about to try to mitigate and help that problem?
I think it would help, because I think the big gap, the 13 percentage point gap between males and females on that question, certainly seems much larger than the actual gap between males and females from what they are taking home. I think the gap is females are making 91 cents for every dollar that males are making in the workplace. And so, you know, that while it's not completely one-to-one relationship, the perception seems to be much different than what the reality is. And so organizations can mitigate that and can overcome that by being transparent about what employees are being paid by these groups, by these demographics, not necessarily at the individual level. We're not ready for that yet. I mean, as transparent as our society has become, we're not ready for that. But certainly among groups, you know, they can take care of some of these perception gaps by having transparency and saying we do pay fairly between males and females. That is going to overcome a lot of these perceptions.
Okay. So talk to us about the industries themselves.
Yeah, so we wanted to look at industries, and we looked at the eight biggest industries that are included in our survey, and we found that two industries performed or scored at the highest levels. The highest ranking industry was financial services. So 60% of financial services professionals are satisfied with their pay. 62% of financial services professionals are satisfied with their compensation. The next highest industry was surprising to me, and that was manufacturing. Again, 60% of heavy manufacturing employees said they're satisfied with their pay, and 61% said that they were satisfied with their total compensation. So I was really, really surprised to see heavy manufacturing that high up in comparison to the other industries.
That is interesting. I am surprised by that as well in terms of, do you think that this is because we're starting to see a resurgence in manufacturing back in the U.S. and that there is compensation being presented to that and that that industry is starting to see a little bit of a resurgence?
I think you're dead on. I think that's 100% right. I also think that the types of jobs that heavy manufacturing is creating are far more skilled than they might have been 30, 40 years ago, where they were just looking for laborers or for people they could quickly train. You know, these are very skilled jobs now that have to have some sort of technical training, and they're probably being paid much better than their colleagues would have been paid 20 or 30 years ago.
No, I
so
agree.
I think
you're right.
Those are the two reasons.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It's certainly when I think about manufacturing today, it's much more computer-driven, it's much more tech-driven, it's more engineering-driven than it was, you know, in the labor work that was done 20, 30, even 40 years ago.
And then, you know, the other thing that is interesting, so financial services and heavy manufacturing are our top performers, have the highest perceptions. Education and retail trade are 7 and 8. So they're at the bottom end of the industry report here, with just about 40% of their employees feeling favorable about their pay and about 50% feeling favorable about their total compensation. And so there's a pretty big gap in terms of the top performing industries and the bottom performing industries, about 20 percentage points on the fair pay item and about 15 percentage points on the total compensation. So a big discrepancy among these industries. And I think there are a number of reasons for the discrepancy. Why education? It's no surprise that education is not going to be getting the same level of pay that public companies are getting or organizations that are for-profit businesses. But retail trade, I mean, they're going to have a very, very challenging time retaining employees when perceptions of fair pay are so low.
No, you're right. It's interesting. You know, from an education side, one of the things I do think about is, especially if you're talking about public education, you know, one of the benefits is the fact that they have summers off and that there's other things and that there's pay and compensation all the way through. So there are other benefits that, you know, maybe are perceived more as, hey, that's the way it is versus really that's a benefit to me. So it's interesting. I do recognize the pay side because you are dealing with a public entity. Towns have to publish what people make and the, you know, all local politics can get into that and that can really be a challenge at times.
And you know, just a thought on education. If you remember earlier, we were talking about focusing on the other drivers of engagement. And again, I think if you go into education, you kind of know you're going to take a hit in pay and in compensation. But it's really important for administrators and for the leaders of the educational institutions to make sure that they're focusing on those other drivers, recognizing the educators, filling them with a sense of personal accomplishment, reminding them that they are preparing future generations for the workforce. And when you do that, then you are going to offset some of the disparity in pay or the perceptions around pay.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on WLOBradio.com. And we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been.
So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
Car is a wreck and you don't know where to go.
Take it to Moody's.
You want to get on with your life, get on with the show.
Take it to Moody's.
Good people you can trust
and it won't be a fuss.
Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
M-O-O-D-Y.
Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right through your own home, sitting in the parking lot, maybe you get hit a lot, driving through the green light, suddenly your side swipe, put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's, take it to Moody's, Collision Centers.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan? I like bronze, like my tan. Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group. Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we've been talking with Don McPherson, president of Modern Survey. Don, we've had a great discussion on pay and benefits and how that has now become a stronger driver of engagement today. You know, one of the things that employers can do if they're looking at all this data and they're saying to themselves, geez, I wonder how I fit, how I stand, where my issues are. Tell them how they can reach out to you and really find out how to really get this under control in their organization.
Well, one of the really important things that an organization can do is conduct an employee survey. And an employee survey is going to give the leaders of that organization a comprehensive view of the health of the organization. We're going to measure levels of engagement. We're going to measure the drivers of engagement. And we're going to truly understand how people feel about their pay and benefits. We know that extraordinary organizations make the employee survey one of their components, one of their standard operating procedures on an annual basis. And so I think that the employee survey is a very important tool to understanding how people feel about the organization, how they feel about their pay, why they want to stay with the organization, what engages them. And so that is a practice that I highly recommend that organizations incorporate in their business.
I agree 100%. It's important to know exactly where you stand in this area. Don, as we wrap up the show today, I know you're going to be coming out to New England to do a couple of conferences, and certainly one of the one will be the big main HR conference. We said we'd talk about it. You're going to be talking about your travels. You're a world traveler, and that's the word I would use, world traveler. Talk about this whole thing of where you've been and what you've learned.
Well, I am keynoting the main SHRM conference on May 8th, and the focus of the talk is my world travel. I have traveled to 60 countries on 5 continents. I've been to all 50 states in the United States, and I'm not that old. But world travel has been a passion of mine, a part of my life, all my adult life. And the topic that I'm going to be discussing is around the world in 60 minutes. And so I'm going to take the audience on a journey. We're going to start in Alaska, where I took a trip in 1990 when I was quite young. I was in school and I failed miserably, but then I forgave myself. So I'm going to talk about failure and forgiveness in Alaska. and how that applies to the workplace. So each of these destinations is going to have a workplace lesson. I'm going to talk about when I moved to Germany when I was in my 20s, and I didn't have a job. I only had $2,000 in my pocket, and I ended up playing basketball over there. And the confidence that moving to a foreign country provided me with, you know, I had no options when I went there. So I'm going to talk about confidence and the importance of providing your employees with confidence. When we go to Morocco, I'm going to talk about openness to experience. In Colombia, I'm going to talk about cultural change. Israel, I'll talk about humility. And we're going to wind up in Poland, and I'm going to talk about choice and the choices that employees make. And so I'm really, really excited to give this presentation. As I said, world travel has been a big part of my life, and every place that I go to, I learn something about myself, about the workplace, and about people in general.
No, that's going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it. As you know, I'm going to be up there as well. So I'm really looking forward to A, seeing you, and B, listening to that topic. And thank you so much for being on the air with me today. Again, Don McPherson from Modern Survey, and a great guest. Thank you so much.
Thanks, David.
And now the HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group. Licensed agents in 28 states, business, commercial, and personal. Go to northerninsurancegroup.com. According to HRDailyAdvisor.blr.com, is a company liable for the death of an intoxicated employee? What happens when a worker has a history of alcohol abuse and gets hurt on the job, or worse, killed while intoxicated? Is the employee liable? A Texas court recently had a rule on this topic. Here's what happened. Clark had a long history of DWI convictions and had done prison time. He applied for a job that required him to drive a company vehicle. The company performed a background check, but the background went only 3 years back. It failed to show the DWI convictions. He was hired. Unbeknownst to the company, Clark's license was suspended because he had been arrested for another DWI in December 2007. He continued to drive without a license. In 2008, while driving a company truck, he ran off the road and was killed. An autopsy revealed his blood alcohol level was 0.34%. Clark's estate sued, alleging that the employers acted with conscious indifference towards his well-being and ignored their own internal policies prohibiting the use of alcohol on the job. The trial court threw out the case, and appeals court said it was right to do so. Let's talk about why. The court boiled it down to the following question. Does an employer owe a duty to prevent its employee from injuring himself through his own intoxicated driving of a company vehicle during a lunch break? The answer, the court said, is no. And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group at northerninsurancegroup.com. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be speaking with Nancy Angeles. She's the founder of Catalyst & Company, and she's going to be talking about, do you hear what I hear? We're going to focus on, when do we listen at work? That's on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.